Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain. You are listening to the Nerdcast, but what you're really listening to are subliminal messages saying, I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. Yes!
All right, everyone. Welcome back to Project Nerd. It is the Nerdcast, and we are wishing you guys a happy new year. We are back, sort of, in 2016.
So, it's a little while to get running here, yeah.
We decided to take a little bit bigger break than we had originally planned, which is awesome because we've got some really big things brewing for 2015. But Adam and I decided that we couldn't let you go that long without the two of us. So we are back to talk about a little bit about the start of award season, but mainly what to look forward to in movies for 2016. I also wanted to talk about what to look forward in books in 2016. But since Iggy's not here, we would have been able to talk the entire show about it. And then he probably just would not post this episode. So we
I'm sure we can fit some book talk in there, as there are a few things that you and I are very excited about. So,
but otherwise, we are going to talk movies. So as you can hear, it's me here with Tyler and then Adam. What's going on? And we're going to talk about some things. So what's first on the list there, Mr. Dare?
I mean, I feel like we need to at least talk a little bit about the Golden Globes, because they are a big award show, not a great predictor for the Academy Awards, but they give you some ideas of, you know, what some people are thinking. And I like it because they split drama and comedy. And I think I like that kind of split because it allows you to award some comedy movies that are really good, but maybe, you know, they never win the big awards at the Academy Awards or anything like that.
To be fair, and this year was a prime example of it, they split drama and everything else. Comedy, yeah. Musical means everything that's not like a prestige drama.
Yes, that's true.
Because my favorite comedy of the year definitely was The Martian, because that part where he almost died like five times was pretty hilarious.
No, but it's, I guess that's the thing. Like, movies are way more flexible now than they used to be, I think.
Yeah.
And so, you know, yes, there's a fair amount of drama in The Martian, but it's presented in such a really entertaining way. So I think, you know, that there's that term dramedy, and they can really fit that one pretty well.
Well, and like the no award season, but especially the Golden Globes, because they split it, has ever really known what to do with your action, thriller, sci-fi, fantasy, what you have it. Because, like, put it this way, Martian, which was a, you know, sort of science fiction, thriller, action, drama, comedy that, you know, had, or drama that had a couple jokes in it. But then at the same time, we've got like a Fury Road, which goes in the drama category, which, like, Fury Road, Carol, The Revenant, Room, Spotlight. One of these things is not like the other. But at the same time, in comedy, you've got Joy, Spy, The Big Short, Trainwreck, and The Martian. Like, they just don't know what to do with that, with those kind of not traditional genres, I guess. Well, or not traditional award-winning genres.
Right, and like you said, one of these things is not like the other, but one of those things is not like anything else, really.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. So, starting off with Best Motion Picture Drama, Tyler named the five: Mad Max, Fury Road, Carol, The Revenant, Room, and Spotlight. Revenant got the win there. I don't think that was too surprising. And then musical or comedy, Best Motion Picture, you got Joy, Spy, The Big Short, The Martian, and Trainwreck, and The Martian won there. So
if you're the people behind, let's say you're Judd Apatow and Amy Schumer, or you're the people behind Spy or something like that, and you're like, oh, Golden Globes where we're going to shine, you know, comedy, whatever. And then you're like, oh yeah, Ridley Scott, huh? Fuck you guys. I'm out.
Well, I mean, I guess that's the thing. It's not a true drama. it's a little rough. But I mean, I think you're right. If you're going to switch those around, you probably move Mad Max out of drama and put The Martian in there, and does Trainwreck or Joy or Spy, I mean, does that get the nod over a Mad Max in that case? Like,
yeah, it's tough. I don't know. It's the fact that they split it, I like, because you get to recognize a lot of movies that are amazing but aren't going to win Oscars. But at the same time, I don't think it's fair, you know, to put one here and one there. At the same time, it's like, you know, Amy Schumer and LeBron James and sex jokes really don't stack up against Matt Damon and Ridley Scott on Mars. Like, it's just...
Did you see Trainwreck?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to win any awards where it's up against The Martian, though.
No, probably not. That's
maybe true. I think the only one in that category that actually had a chance of winning was probably The Big Short. Maybe Joy, but the buzz for it hasn't been like it has been for like some of David O. Russell's more recent stuff. So,
right, agreed. I think it feels almost like he has reached not a tipping point, but almost like a
saturation point.
Yeah, his cultural saturation is like, it seems like he's got a movie every year, and it seems like it's a movie with
Jennifer Lawrence
and Bradley Cooper every year. Like, all right, I'm not going to see that movie. I've already seen this one. I'll just watch Silver Linings Playbook and call it good.
Right. So, and then, so that's our movies. So Revenant and Martian, the big winners. Revenant, I mean, we say, like, obviously the Hollywood Foreign Press, not usually a great predictor for the Oscars, but I think Revenant's definitely on the short list of things that could win. Which, I mean, when was the last time a director went back to back in Oscars with Best Picture and Best Director? Like, has that happened before?
I don't know. That's something, once we see the noms from the Academy, we'll know if it's possible this year. So that's just a couple weeks for that. And then we'll have a huge Academy Award show right before the presentation.
So next up, Best Performance by an Actress in a Drama, movie drama. Mm-hmm. We had Cerise Ronan, Kate Blanchett, Rooney Mara, Brie Larson, and Alicia Vikander. And Brie Larson won this one. I don't think that's a big surprise to anyone. Like, she was getting most of the solid buzz. Although anyone in any way related to Carol has just been on the upswing for the last couple of weeks. I really want to see it, but everything I've been hearing about Carol is just insane. So,
yeah, Carol in, it seems like Carol in, it's the one, the Danish girl. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing a lot of stuff about that as well. I think more for Eddie Redmayne's more so than Alicia Vikander.
And then, Best Performance by an Actress in a Movie, Musical, or Comedy, Jennifer Lawrence, Melissa McCarthy, Amy Schumer, Maggie Smith, Lily Tomlin, and Jennifer Lawrence wins again. So, mm-hmm. People apparently haven't gotten sick of her yet. At least the foreign press hasn't. So,
no, and I think she's actually one of those ones who's getting better. Like, yeah. If you go back and you watch the first Hunger Games movie, you're like, oh, okay. But that's nothing compared to... I mean, I already talked about Silver Linings Playbook, I think is my favorite role of hers. And she looks to actually just dominate this movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, not a big surprise there. Also, I don't know if the competition in that one was as tough as it was probably in the drama category. Melissa McCarthy, Amy Schumer, I don't know if there's... I think Amy Schumer was fantastic in Trainwreck. I just don't think there's a big chance that either of those two is going to win.
I haven't been blown away by either of them yet. They seem to play who they are, which is perfectly fine. I have no real problem with that, but it's not.
I don't
captivating. I think Ed Hayter and Bill Hader and LeBron James were by far the stars of Trainwreck.
Let's be honest, the star of that movie and everything that he touches was John Cena. Maggie Smith is, you know, she's Maggie Smith. So I don't know a whole ton about Lady in the Van, but, and then Lily Tomlin, I mean, it's a comedy / musical award and Lily Tomlin is nominated. So if you beat her, that's something to go on the resume, I suppose. So, best performances by an actor in a drama. So this is the big one. Bryan Cranston, Leonardo DiCaprio, Michael Fassbender, Eddie Redmayne, Will Smith, and Leonardo DiCaprio took home the trophy. So, not a big surprise. The movie is for all intents and purposes, like, I'll throw it out there. We'll probably talk about it once we all get back together again and everyone's seen it. It's really good. Fantastic. It's intense. Yeah. I'm surprised. I don't know what they would have sent from the film as for your consideration scenes. Like, don't get me wrong, he's killing it, and it obviously was, like, just being involved in the production of this movie was a chore in and of itself, but not to, like, take anything away from his performance or from the movie itself. It's basically a lot of him silent and grunting, you know, like he fought a bear. Like, it's one of those things where it's an amazing achievement. I don't know if it's a award-worthy acting performance.
Yeah, there's a lot of the thing is, there's a lot of acting going on there outside of delivering lines. And so it's really going to come down to what people think about that in terms of acting is that as solid as if you look at, you know, Eddie Redmayne in The Danish Girl or Will Smith in Concussion, where they're, you know, really intensely being somebody different than they are and delivering a lot of lines in that as that person.
I don't know. We could go through every single winner. Matt Damon did win for The Martian for Best Actor.
What about Supporting Actor?
That was a big surprise, I think.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. A lot of people were super praising his performance in it, but I think it's still shocking to see a trophy being handed to Sylvester Stallone for playing Rocky. Not only that, but playing Rocky 40 years later, you know?
Right.
So, plus, like, the competition in that was intense. Idris Elba for Beasts of No Nation, mm-hmm. Michael Shannon in 99 Homes, Mark Rylance in Bridge of Spies, who I think was kind of the favorite going in.
Right.
And Paul Dano.
Even Paul Dano, yeah. I mean, Paul Dano for last, but he's a solid actor.
So, that was a big, I think we talked about surprises. There were a lot of surprises. There were some snubs. I don't want to say snubs. There were some movies I wish would have gotten a little bit more recognition, but there were also some huge surprises. Some of them warranted and some of them I'm not too sure about. So surprises, I guess, like from movies that didn't really win anything, would definitely be nothing for, Fury Road at all. And nothing really for Spotlight, which I think had the biggest big budget, like head of steam going into, I guess, big name wide release movie that had the biggest head of steam going into award season. That one I think I'm more surprised at. The Fury Road one I think I'm more disappointed about.
Yeah, I think Fury Road, I mean, you and I obviously loved it. Despite whatever Aaron and Iggy have to say about the movie, you and I loved it. And I think it really felt like the opportunity for that type of movie, kind of like we've talked about, not really fitting into any of your traditional roles, but breaking through and getting something. And I feel like we're going to see it in some of the more technical categories for the Academy, do really good things in terms of, you know, the practical effects and special effects and stuff like that they did.
Give it those Lord of the Rings trophies.
Yeah. I hope it does get some consideration for some of the others, but I just don't know.
Other big hits, obviously we mentioned it, but, Iñárritu for Best Director for The Revenant. I think he's probably the guy on the list for the repeat. I don't know. He's
killing it.
Everything he's does has just been pretty amazing. We talked about Matt Damon winning, a movie that didn't like live up to the buzz that I think it had coming into release. Steve Jobs did take home a couple trophies, one for Kate Winslet as Best Supporting Actress and one for Aaron Sorkin, which is, it's hard not to give Aaron Sorkin an award anytime he writes something that's big, you know?
Right. It's one of those things. It's like Tom Hanks being genetically engineered to win Oscars there for a little while.
Aaron Sorkin is genetically engineered to write pithy, awesome dialogue and fun screenplays between
right, yeah.
his TV shows and his movies. I think there was probably some foreign press people who were tortured about this because it was also there was also an original screenplay on the list by Quentin Tarantino, and the only thing they love more than giving Aaron Sorkin awards for his screenplays is Tarantino. Maybe Tarantino more so. So, the only people I feel would be all the other nominees in the best screenplay category because Sorkin and Tarantino were on the list.
Right, you're just like, oh crap.
The only award that Hateful Eight did take home was best score. But at the same time, like as much as I enjoyed it and seeing it in 70 millimeter was awesome, it definitely didn't live up to the hype. I mean, it's a movie and it's a Tarantino movie and it's awesome, but it's not, I don't know.
I feel like there's been this rash recently of people wanting movies coming out to be, you know, the best
movie that's ever been made.
Right. This is the best movie that's ever been made. And The Force Awakens is going to win the monetary title for that, probably. But I feel like there's equal amounts of hate for The Force Awakens and The Hateful Eight and stuff like that. Oh, well, it was good, but it wasn't that good. Like, taking something away from it when, man, I don't know. I don't know what more people want if that's not their cup of tea.
Yeah. Like, if that's your complaint, like, there's plenty of legitimate complaints to have with something like The Force Awakens. One of them is not, it was good, it wasn't great. It was pretty awesome. Yeah. I love The Hateful Eight, and I think it was amazing. I just, like, the buzz has not been as positive as you would expect from a Tarantino movie, especially one as anticipated as this. Another non-surprise, Inside Out for Best Animated Picture. Mm-hmm. A Bond song winning Best Original Song for Motion Picture. Not super surprising.
Right.
So here's like probably the two awards that were given out on the evening that I think were by far the most surprising. One of them I think was a warranted, like this is one that should have won. One of them was like, I was not only surprised, I was shocked that this show won. Mm-hmm. Best Television Drama Series, Mr. Robot, who if you haven't seen it, it's fantastic.
Right.
And it's also USA. It's one that's putting USA back. I mean, USA has been had some solid entertainment, but no one's really taken what they've done seriously for a while.
Right. It's enjoyable, but not award worthy.
People love some Suits and some White Collar, but it's not, you know, Mr. Robot was something else entirely. And it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also worth mentioning that there was exactly one drama series nominated that's on a network television, and that's Empire. The other ones were HBO, Netflix, and Stars with Outlander, Narcos, and Game of Thrones. But Mr. Robot beating out Empire, Game of Thrones, Narcos, that's huge. And then Best Television Series Hulu, or Best Television Series Musical Comedy, which featured absolutely zero network television shows or even cable television shows. It had two HBO shows, two Amazon shows, a Netflix show, and a Hulu show. The winner was Mozart in the Jungle.
Mm-hmm.
And as someone who has seen both seasons of Mozart in the Jungle, that both came out in 2015, one back in February, one back, it's fun, but like it's not. I don't know. To be fair, I haven't seen Casual, and I haven't seen all of Transparent, at least like the newest season.
Right.
I've seen all the other shows on it, and I'm shocked that it won. Like, actually shocked.
So that's the shocker. So then did Gael Garcia Bernal's...
No, because he's fucking awesome. He plays the maestro. Like, he plays, like, the guy. He's, like, one of two main characters, him and then the Haley, the hobo player. He's amazing. Like, he was the best part of the first season, and he was still solid in the second season. So,
yeah.
I'm also confused, like, how that plays out as far as do they get to count both their seasons for award consideration? So it's one chunk, like two seasons, 20 episodes, and that's
right. It gets a little
because
you get on the online.
That's the other thing, is if it's only the first season, there's no way this wins, because the first season was okay, but it was good, it was fun, but it wasn't great. Second season definitely took a big step forward as far as character development, storytelling, but I'm not putting it up against Veep or Silicon Valley or, you know, Transparent. Orange is the New Black, maybe. Like, I haven't really kept up on it, but I know that the buzz for the most recent couple seasons hasn't been what it was when it came out, so.
Right, yeah, I agree with that.
But, and then the deserved slash, you know, Lifetime Achievement Award went to John Hamm for Mad Men. So,
I think everybody saw that one.
Take it and go and never come back again.
Oh, he'll be back. But yeah, no, I think they're definitely glad to see Mad Men done.
see the back of him. And then the award for best performance by an actor in a leading role in a series, limited series, or motion picture made for television, / the award for guy having best year ever, went to Oscar Isaac. So he's winning Golden Globes. He's
really having a great year.
He was in a movie called Star Wars. He's going to be the villain in the new X-Men movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's already, at this point in his career, been in a Coen Brothers movie. Like, right, kind of just does whatever the fuck he wants.
Right. Ex Machina, he was super good in that movie. I really enjoyed him in that. Yeah, I know he is killing it right now, and I'd trade places with him in a heartbeat.
So, Oscar Isaac, so hot right now. I don't know, anything else that jumped out to you about the awards?
Not really. I mean, it's funny, the awards themselves, I enjoy seeing who won and that kind of stuff. I haven't watched an actual award show for 2, maybe 3 years now.
Who's got 4 or 5 hours to kill?
I mean, on a Sunday night, I can make that work, and that's usually when they all are, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
Like, I'll play 4 or 5 hours worth of video games before I would do that. I mean, if you listen to the podcast, you know that I would do that pretty much anyway, but
yeah, the Oscar's the only one I'll even consider doing, and it's by far the longest of all of these broadcasts. Like,
oh yeah,
but the Oscars are big enough that you could make it a group event. Like, you can get people involved and group watch it. But at the same time, it's just like, fuck, just give me the list when it's over, or I will do other things and just watch the news feed / Twitter
feed. My Twitter feed going, yeah, and yeah. just right, and totally. So I mean, I enjoy the shows. I really like artists. Directors, all sorts of people getting recognition for their work. I think that is important, and I don't mean to belittle that in any way, shape, or form, but I just can't get into the award shows. I don't know. So I guess that was, you know, the only thing I looking at all that stuff afterwards were all of the, you know, there's a fair number of articles talking about who won what and who are the prizes were and all that kind of stuff. And probably equal number that I saw about, do we still need to have these shows?
Yeah.
Can this just be an award given out and, you know, okay, everybody knows who won. And I don't know where I stand on that. Probably that we could just give them out and not have to make everybody sit through 5 hours of nothingness.
Yeah, most definitely. But yeah, I mean, it's that thing. I like seeing the awards. I like seeing who gets them. I usually will, like, the next day, go back and watch acceptance speeches, but I'm not sitting through 5 hours of just, more often than not, just filler between
handing
out one trophy and handing out the next trophy.
Mm-hmm.
There were times when I think they were better productions. Like, old school Oscar productions, number one, weren't as long as they are now. But I would tune in just, if anything else, just for, like, the musical numbers. Like, we're going to do a live performance of each original song and have Robin Williams come out and sing Blame Canada or something like that. Like, that was awesome. But nowadays, like, it's just like the only part I think in the Oscar, like, it's, you want to see the big awards get handed out. You want to see whoever gets the Lifetime Achievement Award, and you want to see the In Memoriam sequence. And then,
oh, just holiday. Just waterworks.
Yeah.
The In Memoriam, just waterworks every year. Oh.
But you have to slog through like 6 hours of other television to get to that point and commercials. And I mean, we're reaching that point where any commercial at all just upsets me. Anyway, we definitely just did almost all the time we were going to spend on other things on Golden Globes, even though we said we were going to touch on it. So let's hit 2016 in movies.
We're good at that. Yeah, 2016 in movies. So there are a couple different ways you can look at this. You can look at it by release date, which is fun. IMDb actually has a listing of, it's over 9,000 titles long, which I didn't realize there are going to be that many movies coming out this year.
Over what?
9,000.
It's over 9,000. Okay.
It is. 9,749 to be exact, because I've got the website up, but they have them ranked by popularity. So number of people hitting IMDb for those specific titles. So that's kind of an interesting way to look at it. Number one, right now, of course, is Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Fresh off the heels of The Force Awakens, lots of people wanting to know when the next Star Wars movie was going to happen and finding that one as the next one. So I'm excited that basically any Star Wars movie I'm going to be super excited about. Number two is Deadpool, which I think everybody's totally excited about. If you haven't seen this past week, they released a bunch of stuff on their Facebook page to make it look like a rom-com because it's Ryan Reynolds and
it's coming out right around Valentine's Day.
Yeah, they put it up to the 12th, but for a while its release date was February 14th. So they had some really funny pictures of Ryan and Marina Baccarin from Firefly, like in traditional rom-com poses, like silhouetted against each other, like laughing and
like, you know, with like warm, with like super warm diffuse lighting behind them and yeah, stuff like that.
Exactly. So
this list, I will say, like you said, it is by popularity, it's definitely tilted towards, you know, your tentpole-y comic book stuff and more sooner things that are coming out sooner than later.
Yeah. So number three, you get The Forest, which is already out. So super early 2016. That's an interesting movie. I'm actually trying to find a time to go see that one because that I love horror movies. So
I love all things Natalie Dormer. So I kind of want to see it.
That's going to draw some eyes, I think. Yeah. Especially because she's looking for, I think it's a twin sister.
Yeah.
Two Natalie Dormers. Okay.
I don't know if I don't know if the world could handle that.
Do I need to buy two tickets for this movie? I don't know what to do. But yeah, you got Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, Captain America, X-Men Apocalypse, Ghostbusters, Suicide Squad, Assassin's Creed, and 13 Hours, kind of rounding out the top 10 for popularity there.
So how close are we to hitting, you know, comic book full-on saturation? Like 5 of the 10 are comic book movies,
mm-hmm.
not counting a Ghostbusters remake, a video game movie, and a Star Wars movie. So, but yeah, 5 of them between X-Men, Suicide Squad, Captain America, Batman, Superman, Deadpool, 5 of them. And that doesn't even take into account, are we supposed to get Doctor Strange this year too?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's 2017, but I'm not positive on that. But I mean, you're looking at, I don't know if you get there. If they stop being good, I think you hit a saturation. Or if they're not doing...
So what you're saying is DC could ruin it for everybody.
It's possible. For you and me, it's entirely possible. For other folks, they would argue that a little bit more. But no, and I think... I guess my thought with the DC stuff is that it will be kind of what it is, and
they're not going to not make money, I guess.
Right. Yeah, they're going to make plenty of money. People are going to go see them, and even with the stagger between Batman vs Superman and Suicide Squad, if Batman vs Superman's not the you know, if it's not acclaimed by the fans, I think people will still go see Suicide Squad because it's a little bit different and you've got all those different characters and people want to see what's going on there.
Yeah. I think the big question is whether or not so much that if it's good or not, will it be good enough to launch like their universe that they're trying to build? Like, is it going to get enough buzz? Because I know Fox was trying to build their whole Mutant/Fantastic Four universe, and their new X-Men movies have been super popular, but Fantastic Four was a train wreck of epic proportions, and there was a production still. Did you see the production still for Entertainment? I think it was Entertainment Weekly, of all the people in like their for the Fox superhero universe, and they showed the original picture that had all the Fantastic Four people in it, and then the original published comic, the original published picture definitely had them all digitally removed.
I didn't see that, but that's not surprising because I don't think Fox wants anything to do with that property anymore. I mean, because there was the idea that whatever comic book movie we put out is going to make a ton of money.
Yeah.
And that that proved the opposite of that. Yeah. Because
well, and it wasn't even so much that it was a bad movie, which it was. It was there was pieces of a good movie there, and all the more and more stuff that came out about the behind the scenes and about the crazy director and the studio, you know, interference. Like, I think there could have been a good movie there. I mean, you had four really, really good actors to play the Fantastic Four, and you had what people thought to be a good director, and it still turned into, like, that first 20 minutes, I was like, this is, they might have figured this out. Like, this might be, and then just, just garbage.
Just went right over the deep end.
So.
Yeah. And then there's some, a bunch of other movies coming out. You've got Dirty Grandpa and 50 Shades of Black. So some comedies.
Elvis and Vixen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's lots of stuff. Pride and Prejudice vs. Zombies, or Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, Zoolander 2. So lots of good comedies, all sorts of stuff. There's a Jungle Book movie and a Legend of Tarzan movie.
I mean, that's one of those, the trailer looks interesting because it's definitely like the later day, like Tarzan after he's gone back to England and then right. gets called. But being, I'm going to tell you what's going to sell some movie tickets. Long-haired, shirtless Alexander Skarsgård.
Well, and you got Margot Robbie in there.
And Margot Robbie. Like, people are lining up for that one. And Samuel L. Jackson in there, I think, somewhere, too. Mm-hmm.
So. Yep.
How about The Boy? Are you pumped about – are you going to see that one? You're the resident horror guy.
So, I don't know. I need to see a little bit more from the trailer. So, I definitely saw a preview for it. And my wife and I were both kind of like – it piqued our interest, I guess I would say. I'm not 100% on board. I like the idea of the forest a little bit more, just because my wife has been into ghost hunting and, you know, has seen ghost hunting shows about that forest in Japan. So that was a connection we had. So I'll need to see a little bit more about that one before I'm ready to jump all the way in.
Yeah.
We also have a lot of sequels coming out.
I was gonna say, as we get into the 20s and 30s, a lot of sequels and or remakes between or spinoffs between Zoolander 2, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, Independence Day, Resurgence, Now You See Me 2, which I don't know how a sequel to that one's going to work.
Yeah, I don't either. I really liked that movie.
I really liked that movie right up until the last like 10 minutes.
Oh yeah.
I loved everything about it till the end. I was like, oh, fuck. And it looks like they didn't get everyone back too, which just makes it a little bit trickier.
Right.
Star Trek Beyond, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, Kung Fu Panda 3.
Right.
That Huntsman's Winter War, where we've decided who needs Snow White in a Snow White movie. Needs Snow White. We're gonna make a Huntsman / Evil Queen a sequel.
I mean, if you saw the Huntsman or Snow White and the Huntsman, you don't really need the Snow White, right?
The one that I didn't realize was even being made until just recently, the Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Mm-hmm.
So the Anne Hathaway, Johnny Depp one.
Right.
Sequel.
We also have Allegiant, the Divergent, the third movie from the Divergent series. Conjuring 2, Ride Along 2. And then another Bourne movie as well.
Another Matt Damon Bourne movie.
Say
what you will. I'm kind of pumped about that. Because I got Paul Greengrass back. Julia Stiles is back. Alicia Vikander is going to be in it, who's, you know, real hot right now. So.
Yes.
Finding Dory, Pixar's, another Pixar sequel. So.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one as well.
Oh, I forgot London Has Fallen. Most excited about.
Look at that, creeps in at number 50 on the list.
Our Olympus Has Fallen. Our Olympus Has Fallen sequel.
Oh, I mean, that's what everybody was
saying. Oh, is this real life? There's a My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2 apparently coming out this year.
Really? Okay.
John Stamos is going to be in it.
Ooh.
And another Ice Age. I think apparently they're still making those.
That's interesting. It's been like 5 or 6 years. Don't they usually try to cash those in a little bit quicker?
You would think so. I don't know. There's a lot of like under the radar weird ones, adaptations. We've got They're making a sequel to Neighbors that's kind of like on the burner. We're getting an adaptation of the BFG, the Roald Dahl novel, which The Big Friendly Giant, I'm kind of pumped about. There's a teaser out for it, but Steven Spielberg's directing it. So Roald Dahl novel, Steven Spielberg directing, I'm on board with everything that's going on there. So, and we get a pseudo historical docudrama by by Oliver Stone. He's doing the Snowden movie. So,
oh yeah,
Oliver Stone loves him some historical fictiony sort of thing. So,
oh yeah,
be entertaining
for sure.
I mean, there's going to be an Angry Birds movie, so that's a thing.
That's true. Secret Life of Pets does look good, though.
Oh, yeah. I'd like that.
We're talking animated films. I'm excited about Secret Life of Pets.
They're making an adapt. I did not know this. Apparently, there's an adaptation of Pete's Dragon being made.
Mm.
I loved that movie when I was a kid. And it has Bryce Dallas Howard, Robert Redford, and Carl Urban involved.
Yeah, Disney's definitely going. So what do you think about Disney's strategy on going hard with the live action adaptations?
It's one of those things where it's the idea, cool, go with it, but the adaptation, I mean, the execution has been hit or miss, I guess, for them. Like, they haven't been, I think early on they banked too much on built-in audience with, like, hey, it's Cinderella, but real life, as opposed to, like, let's hire good directors, let's hire good actors, let's get a good script, instead of let's put actresses in pretty dresses and reshoot our famous animated movies, you know? So.
Yeah, I am actually really excited about The Jungle Book. That is my favorite Disney movie. And the stuff I've seen so far looks just really good. Yeah, so I mean, there's so much stuff coming out next year.
Apparently, we're getting another sequel, another Bridget Jones sequel.
Mm.
So apparently, that's a thing.
I feel like we could do without that, probably.
Oh, and we're supposed to get Kevin Smith's Yoga Hosers. So maybe his actual last movie this time around. We're not sure. And I think one that needs to be touched on, regardless of whatever else is going on. We are getting a John Wick 2. So,
oh, that'll be fun. Oh my gosh. That's still one of those movies that, like, if I don't have anything to watch and I don't want to play a video game, I can put a John Wick 2 in, or John Wick, and enjoy the next 90 minutes.
John Wick, like, those two movies that came out around the same time have filled that niche for me recently. It's John Wick and it's Kingsman.
Oh yeah.
It's a solid, like, just time filler.
Uh-huh.
Another sequel that I hadn't really heard about, and I don't know what the buzz is on it. Like, you take a lot of stuff you find on IMDb with a grain of salt,
mm-hmm.
but there is a placeholder for November, Bad Santa 2, bringing back Billy Bob Thornton. The other actresses attached include Christina Hendricks and Kathy Bates.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. It's another one of those movies that I don't know. Like, I liked that movie, but
I don't think it needs a sequel.
Well, it hit at the right time, and I don't think, yeah, you're not just going to catch that kind of chemistry between the people again, I don't think.
A Barbershop sequel. I think they've already made a couple of those. Another Purge movie, apparently.
So the second one I liked much better than the first one.
Yeah.
So the first one with Ethan Hawke, I mean, cool idea. I think they did a better job with the second one, though. So yeah. Purge Anarchy, I think is what it was called.
And then there's, I don't know if where it's at in production, but there's buzz about we've been talking about all the remakes, the reimaginings, a reimagining of Jumanji, which I think would be, I love that movie as a kid, but at the same time, like, you go back and watch it, I don't think I fully appreciate how fucking creepy it is. Like, there's some points where it goes to a place that, like, maybe, I mean, I remember it being, like, unsettled by certain scenes in it as a kid, but I'd go back and watch it now, I'm like, I don't know if I'd let a kid watch this. I mean, obviously, I watched it, I'm fine, so I probably would, but still.
You're fine. I mean, that's probably arguable. We can ask our fans what they think about.
Well, because there's of those two styled, like there's the two of them. There's that one and Zathura.
Right.
And I think Zathura did like the crazy over the top stuff a lot better.
Uh-huh.
And like that it still made it fun in a kid's movie, whereas Jumanji got dark.
It went to a dark place.
It went to some dark places.
Right. And I mean, for me, my problem with the reworking of that movie is you know, you don't have Robin Williams. Like, who plays that role?
Yeah.
Who can... Because a lot of those dark feelings come from him.
Yeah. And the kid turning into the monkey. That's just...
Yeah, that's awkward. Not okay. Yeah.
But, I don't know. I mean, like, there's a lot to look forward to. And I'm sure we'll get more stuff announced in the next couple weeks, in the next couple months. That's going to blow other stuff out of the water. But
what would you say you are most excited about, then? Let's touch on that before we head out of here.
That's tough. I would say right this moment, if I had to pick one, like there's definitely stuff coming down the pipeline later in the year, but right this moment, I'm really, really, I don't know if excited is the right word. I am most curious about what's going to happen, how well they're going to do with Deadpool. Like, how well is that going to land? Is it gonna do what they hope it will do? Is it gonna make that kind of, I mean, is it gonna be that R-rated movie that, you know, is it gonna be the Hangover? Like, is it gonna break that rated R mold and make some money? Is it gonna make comic book movie money or not? Or is it gonna be good? Like, is it gonna be a good adaptation of Deadpool? Like, Fox is on a bit of a tear right now. Like, they've done good things with their X-Men franchise since doing terrible things to it. Like, the first two X-Men movies, fantastic. Everything from then right up until First Class was just garbage.
Hard to watch, even.
So maybe they've got it back on track. Obviously, Rogue One, if I had to pick one of these, I don't know. That's tough. What's your numero uno?
I mean, kind of like I mentioned, it's going to be hard not to pick a Star Wars movie. Like, I love that world. I love that universe. Rogue One, simply being a Star Wars story, means, I guess, all new characters and maybe some crossover from the main franchise. But they've looked like they're wanting to do their own thing with it. The thing that's really got me most excited, though, is going to be Assassin's Creed. I really like Michael Fassbender. They got Marion Cotillard and Brendan Gleeson attached to that as well. So there's some, I mean, there's some serious acting chops going along with that. So I really love those video games, and I want to see that done well. I think the idea is so strong that it would lend itself really well to movies. So hopefully I get something good out of that, and everyone else can enjoy it as well. I don't care if anyone else likes it or not, though.
Yeah, well, worst case scenario, I mean, there'll be good movies. There was good movies last year. Then there'll be something that comes out of nowhere, like a Fury Road, and just blows us away that we didn't even mention today. So,
right,
at least we hope. Unfortunately, though, we definitely went way over the time that we agreed to this short episode too. But whatever. So we're not going to get into books, other than to say, hey, what is today? Let's just say February 9th?
February 9th
is the release of Pierce Brown's Morningstar, the conclusion to the Red Rising trilogy that started with Red Rising, Golden Sun, Morningstar, and we're real pumped about it.
Very excited, yes.
So
I've got to finish the book I'm reading now and then reread Red Rising and Golden Sun.
I read Red.
That's my plan.
It's a hard sentence. I read Red Rising 2 years ago in January, right when it came out. It came up on Amazon. I was like, hey, I'll check it out. And it just blew me away. And then we ran into the publisher of Red Rising at C2E2 3-4 months later. And I made sure that everyone at Project Nerd got a free copy of the book and said, go read this, which they did. Then the sequel came out last January. Now this year we get the conclusion.
Yeah, it's taken
too long. What's that? What did you say?
It's I'm the only one that did that. I'm the only one that went and read it. I guess maybe Aaron read it too. I don't know.
I think Aaron maybe may have read it. I don't know. Sorry, you cut in real bad there for a second.
Either way, go read. Oh, sorry, everybody. Either way, everybody, go read it. Check it out. Pierce Brown, Red Rising Trilogy. We'll talk about it many more times between now and then. Don't worry.
Also, in quick tag, Adam has now officially caught up with the Dresden Files. So,
yes, I'm out of Dresden Files books. I'm reading other things now.
You still have my copy of Side Jobs. Have you read that yet?
I do. I have not. No.
Get you a little tied over.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to do that probably after Red Rising, Golden Sun, and Morningstar. Then that right. now I got four books planned out. That's good.
Cool. All right. Well, everyone, welcome to the new year. We will be back for realsies, I think, probably next week.
I think that's the plan.
With the full crew. And we'll talk about, probably have to go back over movies of 2016. Probably have to go back over the Golden Globes and award season in general. And hopefully be able to give you some more insight into what 2016 looks like for Project Nerd, because we've got a lot of big things up on the horizon. So, Happy New Year. Welcome back. And we will see you guys next week.
Same nerd time, same nerd channel, friends.